Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz family of companies. With an endless supply of energy, he deploys his experience and passion to unleash the potential in others and share the stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
I think you know what they say. They say that Matthew McConaughey's new car cannot make left turns. Did you know that, Marcus?
I did not.
It just goes, all right, all right, all right. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to unleash the potential right here in our hometown of Sacramento. We are on a mission to help you make more right turns, make a few less wrong turns, and discover your very best in this crazy journey we call entrepreneurship. How you doing, Marcus?
I am doing fantastic. Fired up to be here.
You hanging or banging today? That's the question.
Well, I'm down here at KTK Studio Saturday morning. I am banging. How about you, sir?
I am ready to kill it today.
Love it.
You know what they say, Marcus, that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Do you believe that?
Well, I'm kind of living proof of that concept.
You are. You have taken one for the team, haven't you?
Yeah, but I am a firm believer that, those rise above moments really define a person's character.
Yeah, so, I mean, we as entrepreneurs, we're trying to be the best that we can be. We're trying to find out how great we can make our company. But really challenge ourselves. And when you push yourself, there is that risk of throwing an interception like Tom Brady did in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what were you thinking? He threw that pick six. It's like, wow, man, is it over?
After he didn't catch that guy, I was thinking he should have done a few more wind sprints after practice.
I mean, what a setback. But then what happened?
Turned it around.
He figured out a way to overcome. Now, is he the best quarterback in the NFL? Of all time?
Greatest of all time quarterback, I'd have to say. I mean, the guy's got 5 Super Bowls now.
Yeah,
it's
he's
pretty unbelievable.
Overtaken Montana, probably. What do you think? My favorite guy.
I don't want to give up my number 1-7. But,
all right, now being the best, which branch of the military is the best and why?
Well, I'm going to go with the United States military.
The Marine Corps?
Well, I think that everybody has their branch.
You're politically correct all of a sudden.
I'm just going to say
the Marines, right? You guys don't win every battle, but don't you guys have a motto, attack from a different direction, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Retreat hell. Fight a different direction.
Yeah, you never retreat.
No doubt.
And who's the best president of all time, right? Everybody sets out to be a great president when they start off, but and the great ones, they face these defining moments, as you mentioned, right? Who's the best president of all time?
I think the most impactful one for me when studying history was Abe Lincoln.
Okay, why is that?
I think he was at a really interesting time in American history where he had to stand up on to the
Civil
everybody,
War, right?
Exactly. Yeah, he had to take America on his back and...
But
it's the country that we are today. So
the best presidents, the people who are the best at anything, really, it didn't come easy, right? It didn't come easy for Ronald Reagan. It didn't come easy for George Washington. We got, we got President's Day around the corner, so I had to bring in the presidential discussion.
It didn't come easy for Tom Brady either.
Yeah.
If you've watched some of his history.
I mean, I think the greatest men in the world have faced challenges, but it's how they overcame those challenges that really defined them. And I think it's our failures and many times that, and our response to those failures that really defines us. So, I mean, as you think about what truly defines us, I always say, I don't say it every day, but I say, don't define her by her dress size and don't define him by the price tag of the car he drives. Maybe it's best to look at our own actions, look at our own size of our own heart. And that's what really defines us, Marcus. Coming up in the show today, we have two seasoned entrepreneurs who have built successful businesses and have seen their own share of challenges in the years. Later in the show, we're going to hear the Russ Hicks story. Russ is the president of the best-in-class management company, Public Sector Partners. But Russ's entrepreneurial journey includes some big lessons that he learned the hard way. But after the break, you are going to meet the man behind California Backyard. The charming Buzz Holmesy will be here. And California Backyard is recognized as the best outdoor furniture company in the region. We will find out how and why this backyard retailer created the dominant market position it has today. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHDK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com.
Now, back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with the Entrepreneurs Advocate, Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Stifel Financial. I am Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Buzz Holmesy, the founder of outdoor furniture retailer California Backyard. How you doing, Buzz?
Great. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Now, there may be some people living underneath a rock that don't know about California Backyard, so why don't we start off by just giving an overview of what California Backyard is?
Golly. California Backyard's a brand. You know, we deal in outdoor products to make yards beautiful. And so we're in the patio furniture business. We're deep in the grill business. We're in the hot tub jacuzzi business. We're in the Christmas business. So we're a culture. We're a brand.
Yeah. So thinking about California Backyard, I am a customer, and actually I haven't been in there recently, and I think it's because my stuff is lasting so long. So, I mean, you guys have become like the best-in-class retailer. How many locations do you guys have in the Sacramento region?
We have five in Sacramento and one in Reno.
Yeah, and so when I walk into a California Backyard, you're kind of blown away by the enormity of the business and all the different things that are happening. It's like walking into a big oasis. Give us a little sense as to what it's like to walk in, and what are you guys trying to do with the way you lay out those stores?
You know, Mark, it's a lesson in selection and materials. we specialize in teak, aluminum tube, cast aluminum, now woven PE wicker over aluminum frames. And we work hard to create separation from normal products of that type. Yeah.
What's the difference between your products and, say, the products at a mass merchant?
I think size, comfort, and style. You know, people come to us because they've had two or three errors in their patio life.
Yeah, yes.
And we have to be good.
Some of the stuff wears out every year or two. You got to get the new stuff. You might as well get something that looks good, feels good, it's comfortable, and lasts a long time. Now, building this business, this is about entrepreneurship. Our show is about inspiring entrepreneurs. You've had quite a journey. You built a big company and then had a nice exit, and now you have continued to stay in the outdoor furniture business. What have been some of the biggest challenges that have come through this journey?
Well, you know, a lot of our products are discretionary. So during the recession, we really had a rough time. We closed a couple stores. We closed a warehouse. We closed our cabinet shop that manufactures outdoor kitchen cabinets. We just kind of pulled ourselves back. You know, our volume went down about 42%. And we just survived.
Yeah. And now, sometimes when you go through hard times, if it doesn't kill you, as we talked about earlier, it can make you stronger. Do you think it strengthened you guys at all to go through the recession? Did you come out stronger, or any lessons learned?
You know, it's like business as usual with me. It's every day. Yeah. It's a passion. You know, it's color. It's emotion. You just take one day at a time and climb yourself out of it, and that's what we did. But and I think we did it the right way.
Now, what's the right way? What does that mean?
You know, we're not flashy. We're continuous. Our strength is in our selection and the thought that goes into manufacturing the products that we bring to market. So we have to be good. We have to be able to produce furniture that you can give your grandkids.
Interesting. So you guys have created a line of product that actually is just, you get custom made to your specifications, and it's only offered through California Backyard, right, in the Sacramento region. It's offered nationwide through other retailers, but it's yours here, and you designed that product, or you've helped design that.
Yeah, we 62 other retailers in North America belong to the Casual Classics Furniture Group, which we founded in 2001. And we produce our own furniture from input from our retail owners. And the net result is comfort, style, and good pricing.
Tell us about your team. In the experience that I've had with California Backyard, I had a unique impression from one of your teammates, and I'm going to share that story at the end of the show, but tell us about your team. You've got a great team.
You know, people have been with us 16, 18, 20 years, Mark. Our service center is very active out in Rockland. We centrally bring product into Rockland, and our service center's there. We have our own service company that takes care of our hot tubs and grill cleaning and umbrella repair. And especially at Christmas time, we repair lights. That's the important thing.
Repair lights, that's on the Christmas trees? Or where? Tell me about the repair lights, because we bought, I think, at least one or two Christmas trees from you guys. What is the lights, and what do you guys do differently at Christmas?
Mark, we pre-lit the first artificial Christmas tree in the world in 1974.
Wow.
And we've been producing pre-lit Christmas trees ever since.
And they're so lifelike.
They are lifelike. They are not fake. They are lifelike. So, you know, we produce a third dimensional needle, and we special light system that goes into our trees. So if people have trouble with lights in and out of a box over the years, our service center in Rockland repairs those at Christmas time. I think we did 210 customers last year. Wow. And we probably have over 100,000 Christmas trees in five counties.
I think it's an interesting way to do the business model, because, you know, sometimes I think outdoor furniture, it might be slower. The slower period might be during the Christmas time period. Well, you have a whole reason to come into California Backyard at Christmas time. Whose idea was that?
You know, that was the general's idea.
Tell us about the general.
You have one of those, too.
let's touch on that. Who is that general?
That was my wife. Wilma founded that Christmas business in 1972.
And wow.
She stayed instrumental for many years in that. And our daughter Denise does that now. And, you know, it's a tradition with our company.
And now you're expanding, or you've been doing outdoor hot tubs and things like that, but you now recently landed the jacuzzi line, is that right?
Yeah, we are the jacuzzi dealer for Sacramento area.
So you can get the hot tub, you can get the Christmas items, you can get the California, you can get the outdoor furniture, so it's a patio setup. Is that kind of the extent of the product line? What's the...
You know what we're doing, kind of interesting to you and probably follows the entrepreneurial drive of this show, is we're partnering with Capital Landscape, and we're going to build a lifestyle scene in our Hazel store where you'll be able to see a jacuzzi set in an elevated deck with different hardscapes of different styles and colors, pergolas and waterfalls and a fountain and... Outdoor kitchen and the whole works. So you'll be able to view a backyard from your patio door with a jacuzzi, hot tub, in a lifestyle. Should be ready about middle of March.
Wow. That's Highway 50 in Hazel.
Correct.
Yeah, I've driven by that a number of times. You mentioned your wife, Wilma, and your daughter. This is a family business, but it's not. Typically, when we think family business, we think small. You guys are actually pretty good-sized outfit, multiple offices. How is that running this growing family business? What's it like to be the guy behind this growing family business?
No, I'm going the other way.
You are. Are you on your victory lap now?
Yeah, I'm on my victory lap. our son-in-law Tom is our CEO, and he's a very capable, visionary type of guy. And I think you'll see the steady growth with California Backyard continue.
And does it present any challenges to have family involved, or is it all, you know,
never
wine
easy,
and roses? Okay, you and I have a mutual friend. You guys are located on Eureka Road, or one of your offices. I think that might be your main office, right there on Eureka Road in Roseville. That's sort of my backyard, I suppose. Our good buddy Brian Bennett, who launched Paul Martin's, is right next door. And so, thinking out loud here, your products are not just for residential. Your products are in restaurants like Paul Martin's, too. So people who might be listening that are putting together commercial type of outdoor furniture, they can get that stuff from you guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, we were fortunate enough to partner with Brian and Paul Martin's and use our expertise in outdoor furniture to produce contract-type seating and dining for his restaurants, and it's been going on now for 4.5 years. I think that we've done all 12 patios for Brian.
Wow.
Yeah, he just completed Austin, Texas.
That's exciting. Yeah, he's doing great things. Now, I'm going over to Paul Martin's for Valentine's Day. He somehow got me in there. Now, what are you doing for Valentine's Day? What are you and Wilma going to do?
Have an Irish coffee.
Are you going over there too? Is that a baby? We'll see you over there. Maybe we can grab a table together. That'll be fun. So just some closing thoughts or words of wisdom. You're a senior player. You know things. You probably forgot things that I'll never know about entrepreneurship. Give us a little bit of advice from Buzz's point of view about how entrepreneurs ought to view their business. Any words of wisdom?
That's a good question, Mark. And I think in my career, it's always on the move forward. Learn where you've been backwards. Don't do it again, but keep going forward and continue to create separation in what you do so that the uniqueness of your ingenuity and imagination comes out in the product and the culture that you produce.
Very well said, Buzz Holmesy, the founder of Outdoor Furniture Retailer, California Backyard. I want to thank you for coming down.
Thanks, Mark.
And joining me on the show. Yeah, and your words of wisdom, I think, are going to help all of us as we chase our entrepreneurial dreams. And for you listeners out there, stick around, because at the end of the show, I'm going to be sharing a very personal story about two very memorable experiences involving California Backyard. But when we return, we will meet Russ Hicks. Russ has built management company Public Sector Partners, regarded as the best in class in Sacramento. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHCK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Haney Biz's Mark Haney.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by my buddies at Stifel Financial. I'm Mark Haney, and today, as soon as I get this music turned down a little bit, today I am joined by Russ Hicks, president of Public Sector Partners. He's a veteran entrepreneur and so much more. He's also an old-time radio guy, right? You used to be on KCK years ago.
Long time ago, a little over 20 years ago, actually.
Well, that's like when computers first came out. You were the computer guy on KHTK?
Exactly. We were, I had computer training centers, and the program director from KHTK happened to be transitioning his staff from DOS to Windows.
DOS. And Marcus is over there going, what's DOS?
and so they signed up for a class. I happened to lead the class, and the program director said, have you ever thought about doing radio? And the rest is history, as they say.
Very cool. Well, don't show me up too much today. Is that okay? Can we kind of keep you kind of – I'm a star.
I've got a governor on my awesomeness. Just for you today.
Thank you. You know what? That helps me a lot. I love guys like that. This is great. Okay, so Public Sector Partners, tell us about that business.
Sure. Public Sector Partners is what we call a catalyst company. After working with California government for almost 30 years, I have seen that they face a lot of challenges, and there's a tremendous number of good people that are trying to do good work. A lot of times they don't get the credit that they deserve, and due to budgetary restrictions and policy, governance challenges and things like that, they tend not to get training and education to keep them up to speed on the ever-changing world and options that exist in trying to deliver services most effectively to the people of California.
Do you think government workers get a bad rap as being lazy? Is that wrong?
Yeah,
they're your customer.
Now, keep in mind, we're in Sacramento.
I can ask questions. Doesn't make me look bad at all.
I think, quite frankly, a lot of the challenge is that it's not necessarily the first choice for careers.
Okay.
Quite frankly, people look for the big paychecks that come from the private sector or the entrepreneurial opportunities that the private sector offers.
Right, right.
You really have to have a service mentality in order to do government service.
Yeah. Now, you guys put on events that the government workers can come to so that they can run their operations better. Is that a fair statement?
There were some very visionary leaders within California that have identified knowledge challenges that personnel within California tend to have within specific job descriptions, like the cybersecurity experts or the technology experts or leaders within California. And I've gotten the reputation over the years of being able to put together educational events. And so now these leaders will occasionally reach out to me and say, I've got a constituency that needs education. And so we will work with them to define what kind of content that they'd like to deliver to their personnel. We'll go out into the industry and find subject matter experts, put the two of them together, let them work on the content for about 6 months, and then deliver a 1 or 2 day education for them.
So instead of going to, let's say, Cisco or Oracle or some big company that wants to sell into the state and saying, what do you want to sell them? Instead, you go to their customer. What are you guys looking for? What's coming on the horizon? What do you want to learn? Yes. Okay, let me go get that from these suppliers, and they come in, or these educated people to come in and help put things together so that they can run their businesses or run the business of government more effectively.
Can I capture that clip and record that? I want to use that in my marketing. That's it exactly. That's
okay.
It exactly.
Now you know how to run a business because you've had an entrepreneurial journey that goes back to computers when they first came out. But even beyond that, you've been an entrepreneur like your whole life. I want you to kind of share your journey. And it hasn't always been easy, has it?
No. I'm not sure if I can even relate this story on the radio, but when I was my first experience in making money was when I was 6 years old, sneaking into my parents' bedroom and grabbing my father's publication that he kept under the bed, cutting out pictures and then selling it to the sixth graders.
Oh, I like that because the average guy, the non-entrepreneurial guy,
would have
sold the whole magazine at one thing. This guy's cutting up smaller segments. You probably get a little bit more bang for the buck. No pun intended. So, okay, I didn't know about that story. But later, as things progressed, and so you got
once
some work.
Matured.
So you got some seed capital.
Exactly.
And then what did you do after? What happened after that? What's later? You got the food business, right?
I think your program director's blood pressure has risen. where was I? I had the opportunity to start college at a young age at 16 and rapidly learned that was too young. I then joined the best service in the military.
Yes.
The Air Force. And I say that just because it's the most real world kind of military of all the militaries. It taught me electronics and some real usable skills out in the real world.
Okay.
But while I was in the military, I was working part time in a pizza shop, and was able to be very successful building that business. So when I got out of the military, I opened my own. Which, based on the topic that we're following today, was what most people would have termed my first big failure.
Oh.
I didn't know what I didn't know. And it's interesting. My dad always said that there's a big difference between failing and failure.
Okay.
Failing is a constant process. It's a ongoing learning experience. Everybody fails from time to time. Failure is when you choose not to get back on the horse.
Yeah.
And the way I knew I'd failed in the pizza business was two gentlemen in suits turned out to be from the IRS coming and padlocking my front door of my business.
Yes, that
lunch
is.
Hour.
Here's your sign. There is that might be a bad sign there, huh?
Well, it's proof that you shouldn't ignore those letters that come to you with that IRS symbol.
Hey,
the
I'm
envelope.
Making pizzas. You know, I don't have time to check the mail. but you guys had a number of it wasn't just a small time pizza place, right? It was significant.
We were a chain of two.
Oh, okay. Well.
Two links,
yeah.
But for a young kid, I'd started them when I was 24, and like I said, I didn't know what I didn't know. So, big piece of advice to you young entrepreneurs that are getting ready to start a company out there. There are a lot of components to a business. One of the first things I'd really recommend is take some basic business classes if you're going to start a business.
Yeah.
It's kind of a requirement. You've got to understand a little bit of accounting.
Mm-hmm.
So when your balance sheet says zero.
Or in brackets. I hate the brackets. You know,
in
the bracket.
Red.
Yeah, red. I like red.
And you know, you're getting those bad notices that you understand the trajectory your business is on before it craters.
Yeah.
Out of that experience of losing everything, and we did. We had to claim bankruptcy.
Oh, man.
And probably the most hurtful part of it was I had made another mistake that I warn young entrepreneurs about. Do not borrow money from relatives.
Okay.
My father-in-law and my father invested heavily in the pizza shops. Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly, kind of going back to the concept of the prodigal son, I had kind of asked my father for my inheritance early.
Yeah.
Right? And so I leveraged that as part of the finance. But I was also a newlywed, and my father-in-law was trusting enough in me to also loan us money. The difference was my father kind of could afford it because it was my inheritance. My father-in-law, not so much. And so the failure of the business not only hurt me, but it hurt him. I'll confess that for the next 15 years of my life, I worked hard to pay him back,
mm-hmm.
right? Unfortunately, my father passed away, so I didn't have that opportunity. But it gave me the inspiration to go back to school, take accounting classes, business law, marketing classes, and things like that. And, you know, then over the next 30 years, I tried various endeavors and pursuits, and it finally culminated in Public Sector Partners, and happy to say, we're a successful company.
One of the most humbling moments of your life turns into a great lesson that actually becomes a success story. And now what you've done, one of the other things that that you have pointed out is that the right business partners, and I know you have some key partners in your business, the right business partners can make all the difference in the world, because you might not be great at every piece of the puzzle. You may be a product guy, or you may be a accounting finance guy, or you may be a sales and marketing guy, but the average person's not all three. In fact, I don't know anybody who is great at all of it.
There's only one creature in this world that's great at moving eight appendages at a time, and that's an octopus. human beings are usually very central focused. Luckily, I have two awesome partners. I have my wife, who has put up with me for 34 years. Thank you, dear. I love you very much. And my work wife, Sherilyn Hammond, who is the partner in my current business, and she's put up with me for 20-plus years.
Wow.
The thing that I have learned about business is the pie is much bigger than you think it is. All too often, an entrepreneur has this passion that they want to go pursue, and they believe that they're the only one that can make it happen. Well, the reality is, while you may be a great engineer, you may, I can't use that word, you may be terrible.
Yes, this is the radio.
Once we're on Facebook Live,
yeah,
let me know.
You can use the S word.
you may be terrible at numbers.
Yeah.
You may be terrible at social media. You may be terrible at other things that you need to put together. So look for those people, and don't be afraid to offer them a piece of the pie. Now, like marriage, a good partnership often takes time to develop, and you have to make sure that the chemistry is right.
Yeah.
So one thing that I would also recommend to young entrepreneurs that are starting a business, but they're trying to attract a partner that will invest the same, is look at leveraging their time and experience in some kind of a vetting program so that they earn a share of the business by investing 3, 4, 5, 6 years into the process so that you're sure that you work together.
Yes. Russ Hicks is sharing with what I like to call the power of with. 1 + 1 can = 3 if you have the right business partners, if you have the right people by your side. I want to thank you for coming on the show today, Russ. Awesome job. As time flies by, I could go all day long on this conversation and your entrepreneurial ventures that are a little edgy at times, but that's okay. When we return, I will share some closing thoughts about big dreams and striving to be the best, and how lessons are some of the most humbling times when we learn our lessons the strongest. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Biz Investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back. I remember as a kid asking my mom, you know, Mom, are we rich? And, you know, my mom would always say the same thing. Mark, we're rich in love. And I never really understood what that meant. But one day I realized that meant no, we're not rich. I guess I should have realized that because we had a railroad running through our backyard. Kind of a giveaway. But you know what? We dreamed about a better life. I remember my brother and I laying in bed, and we used to dream about, you know, someday maybe we'll be rich or famous or this and that. And we had big dreams, not always the driest dreams in the world, but they were our dreams. And, you know, I was going to be a pro football player with a big house, a swimming pool, a circular driveway, and a hot wife.
There you go.
Yeah. And Paul was always trying the topper. He's like, I'm going to be a used car salesman. I'm going to have this big house, circular driveway, built-in swimming pool, and I'm going to have a hot maid. And he's like, oh, Paul, okay, I see how it is.
I love it.
But you know what? Probably in our mid-30s, we reached some of those dreams. And, you know, everything except the pro football thing, I had one distinct disadvantage, athletic ability. It got me every time.
Yeah.
And but you know what? As entrepreneurs, that's kind of what we do, is we dream about the way things might become. And, you know, as those dreams become a little bit more real, we pour everything we have into them. And sometimes we crash and burn. And other times, you know, you end up with the success story. I'm Mark Haney. I'm back here with Marcus Haney, talking about being the best, talking about the challenges and how, you know, sometimes what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, Marcus.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that you have to work hard to get where you want to be, right? And it's not always easy. I mean, rarely is it ever easy for anybody who has any sort of success to talk about.
So we talked to a couple entrepreneurs today that have done some success, had some real success, Marcus. Any takeaways from today's show?
Yeah, Russ Hicks, that guy just started off as a young buck as an entrepreneur, really taking the magazines to his friends around town.
He started early. Yeah, he started early.
That's number one takeaway for the day.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, both guys said something I think stuck with me is, you know, they had their commitment to their family and their wives in particular, been married a long time, had a very solid foundation, which I think is very helpful in building any business. But I think about the Marines, Marcus, and you were a Marine, and now you're building this company, a supply company. Why did you choose the Marines, and what are your dreams about your new supply company?
Well, interesting. The Marines, I had a cousin AJ, who was a Marine prior to me, and my best friend's dad growing up was a Marine as well. And they talked about it, and I feel like it offered me the camaraderie that I really look for in a team. I mean, it's that rah-rah, everybody's got your back type of mentality. And, you know, haven't you seen those dress blues we get to wear? Those things really are a topper. But with my business, I started a distribution company, supplies from any kind of PPE, protective personal equipment. But my overall goal is to build an organization that I can lend opportunities for my veteran friends that I serve with in the United States Marine Corps, an opportunity to build their own business. And if that can happen, then I met my dreams. And I started with why with my thing, which makes it really interesting for me. I want to help other people. So to me, I got to get there.
Some people have asked me over the last several years, you know, should I go for it? I don't want to fail and waste all this time and energy if I'm going to fail anyway.
Right. What do you have to say about that?
You know what? I think that wasted failure is the one that you don't learn from. If you have a failure, I think Russ mentioned this, if you fail and you don't learn anything from it, you can't get something out of that, then it is a failure. But if you can take something away from that, it can certainly, it's never fun to fail. I fail every day. It's never fun to fail. But if you pick yourself back up and learn something from it, maybe it's not really a failure.
100% agree. Yeah. Russ said that. It's the difference between failing and failure. I think that's very huge. Don't ever give up on your dreams. You got to keep going and pick yourself up, I think, is the big character piece there that most people fail at, right? I can't pick myself up. They need somebody else to pick them up, which sometimes is really hard to come by.
And I'll share a quick story about a distribution company, Marcus, that I helped build with a team. My brother and I went from newspaper routes and dreaming in the as little kids to building a distribution company. I think something like what you're in the process of starting here. And, you know, we made a ton of mistakes. I mean, I was mistake prone and I didn't always have the right support system. But luckily, I had my brother Paul. But we bought into this company by accident, kind of. But we grew it. We said, you know what? We are just going to grow and kind of didn't know what we didn't know, but we grew. We knew how to sell. So we went from 3 to 10 to 18 to 25 to 35 million, almost running the car off the road, lines of credit maxed. And, you know, we made every mistake in the book, whether it be inventory, employees, and leadership, and leading from the back, and customers. I mean, we were maxed out on our credits. And I remember, you know, it was like, oh no, we're maxed out on our credit line. And, you know, back then we were selling to casinos, and I mean, the Trump Resort filed bankruptcy on us. Ooh. And it's like, oh, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, I Donald never called me, though. It was weird. I don't know what happened. He forgot to give me a call. But anyway, our suppliers, we had supplier issues. I made every mistake in the book, but it was a learning event in and of itself, because we ended up deciding to focus more, learn from our mistakes, not make the same ones too many times in a row. And really, one of the big mistakes we made is we didn't worry as much about profits as we should have. And you grow, 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 and you gotta have profitable growth. So, you know, I think the lesson was learned, and we were able to get kind of build that lifestyle that we dreamed about, and we kind of were on cruise control until one day something happened that really kind of motivated us. So this is another lesson. Be careful who you motivate. Somebody tried to buy us because we had gotten profitable. We're still hanging in that $25, $30 million in sales. We had paid down our lines of credit. We had got ourselves secured. Somebody tried to buy us, and they came in and they shared their strategy. So after you buy us, how's it going to work? And they shared their story, and we're like, that's a good idea. We're kind of doing some stuff like that too. I like that idea. We're going to put the Mark and Paul twist on it. And I think, you know the story. We went from, we ended up over $200 million in the next 5 years with multiple companies and hundreds of employees and a successful liquidity event. And now here we are today on the radio. But be careful about who you share. Who do you motivate? Because you never know. You may be motivated. A guy's going to, eat your lunch for you. And I think, we had a little success because we had a great team. But realistically, these were all from mistakes. Right. And it might have been even from some complacency, but they woke up the wrong people. And I see that happening with people on our show. And they come on to Entrepreneurs Unlimited. A lot of times they are awakened and they're just about to do something important. And they have that decision about how hard I'm going to go at it. And, how much to put at risk. And you know what? You aren't really failing unless you quit.
Right.
You aren't failing unless you quit. So I'm now on a mission to help other entrepreneurs to chase their dream. We're going Haney Biz hands-on. We've started a new set of services, Haney Biz Accounting and Outsourced CPA, Haney Biz Opportunity Fund for investing into companies here in Sacramento. We've got sales and marketing solutions and much, much more. We are doing things here in Sacramento. This is not an infomercial. I'm just saying, we're going hands-on to help unleash the potential of Sacramento. As each individual entrepreneur, each individual family, each individual business, as their potential is unleashed, that is good for Sacramento, and that is what this is all about. So I want to thank our sponsors for helping me do this, Audi of Rockland, DCA Capital, CLA, Hub International. There's so much more. Kim Silver's HR, everybody, our guests, everybody that helps us to build this show. And next week, you're not going to want to miss it. We got Josh Tillman coming on, founder of DialSource. And we also have a business broker, Greg Roberti. And we're trying to help entrepreneurs to chase their dreams. And when we return, I'll have a few closing thoughts and a special story, a personal story about California backyard. It's a story with an ironic twist. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney.
Valentine's Day around the corner, and I have taken my wife to Paul Martin's for Valentine's Day. It's right next to California backyard. And you know, for my wife and me, every day is Valentine's Day. And you know what? For a lot of us, every day is a good day for Paul Martin's too. But
no doubt.
Talking about being the best and what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I also say maybe every day should be Veterans Day. Just a thought. And I want to take a time to kind of transition into my California backyard story. And it goes back 5 years. I was driving to the office the other day, and I had to start by Starbucks, and it all hit me. You know what? Last time I was dealing with the California backyard on a sale, it was about 5 years ago, and my furniture still looks good, but it sort of all hit me what happened on that time. And so I'm out in my backyard. We just, we had the liquidity event. We promised the wife a new house, but I became a concrete salesman and, partnered with my buddies doing concrete. We built a heck of a backyard at our new house that we bought. And I'm out there admiring the stamped concrete that plaster concrete does and just going, wow, life is good. And, I'm waiting for the California backyard furniture to be delivered. And, you would think life would be perfect at that moment, but I had this kind of 1,000-pound weight on top of me. It was the best of times, but it was the worst of times because my son was serving in Afghanistan, in the most dangerous place in Afghanistan. And I just remember 3 weeks earlier, So this was 2012, 3 weeks earlier. We were going to go to see the movie, The Lucky One, while Marcus was in Afghanistan. And it's like, it doesn't start for another hour or two. Okay, maybe we ought to get some new furniture. You know, so we cruise into California backyard, and they treat us. It's nice, nice stuff. So we buy a bunch of furniture for the new, you know, for the new setup, and really nice top-of-the-line stuff. So we order that all up, and still got a little bit of time to kill. And, you know, we decide we're going to market. We're going to send Marcus a care package. And
yeah,
my wife goes, you know what he wants in his care package is he wants some wintergreen grizzly tobacco. And I'm like, I'm not buying my kid tobacco. And what are you talking about? He chews tobacco now? And I guess so. He's in Afghanistan. They start chewing tobacco. I don't know. And we're like, okay. So we debated on this for a while. But after buying the furniture, we had like another 10 minutes to kill. So we go over. We stop by the Chevron station. Right? I got Paul Martin, Chevron, all this stuff right in everything's right in a row on Eureka Road next to the theater. And we buy him this case of wintergreen tobacco. And anyway, so I'm laying out by the pool. So the furniture's going to get delivered now 3 weeks later. And the guy comes in. I just fall in love with the delivery guy. He's this young man, super professional. And he reminds me of my son, Marcus, in a way. I'm like, man, this kid's a stud. And I'm kind of helping him kind of do the furniture. It takes like an hour to set it all. There's a lot of stuff. Him and another guy are doing everything. And while he was there, we were talking. And then my phone rings. And guess who it was? Marcus is on the phone. Marcus called me from Afghanistan. What are you doing? He's like, Dad, I'm not very proud of you. I'm like, what's up? And he's like, you made me cry. And I had sent him this letter. Then we both kind of shared that moment. And it was that, and talked to my son too much while I was in Afghanistan. And somehow he got a break in the action, called me. And, she's just, thanks for the care package, Dad. The letter made me cry. And you bet, buddy. And so I get over and I'm talking to the California backyard delivery guy, and he could tell I was a little choked up for just talking to my son. And, you know, we kind of bonded in a cool way. And I always felt, you know what? I always kind of had a special place in my heart for the people at California backyard. I think it was mainly that young guy, but now Buzz, he's a new best friend too.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a special place in my heart for California backyard, because what happened about a week or two later, 2 weeks later, this was midway on June 7th, I got the call from Marcus that he had been shot. And, he woke up from surgery and he had been shot in the leg and he was pretty out of it. But a few days later, when he finally got to the United States, we got there, we met with him, and we're kind of finding out the story. It turns out that he had been shot in the right leg, right where he kept his chew, his wintergreen chew, and it ricocheted off the chew can, saving his leg. The ricochet actually changed his injury so that it saved his leg. And it was all because we'd made that decision from California backyard, that extra 10 minutes to go buy that chew that I would never buy for my son. I'm not going to buy you chewing tobacco. But you know what? Maybe that could have saved your life, Marcus. And I just, I just think about just the coincidence and how that hit me like a ton of bricks just a couple of days ago. It's like, wow, that's my California backyard story. That's my story. It happened at the time when I was probably as tough a time as I've ever had in my life. And just thinking about the toughest times you have in your life. My wife and I were just talking last night. The toughest time in our life was at that time. And there's nothing. We've been married 31 years and there is nothing that has brought us closer as a couple as that moment and that time of our lives where we bonded together for what we care about most. So, as we wrap up, never above you, never below you, always by your side.